All right, Mark, typically after every Bears game, we do a little thing called the QB1 segment where we go category by category and discuss Caleb's performance or whoever the QB1 happened to be. For a couple of years, it was Justin Fields. So we're going to start here with the defining moment from Sunday's game in Jacksonville. For me, it's pretty easy to identify that because there is an opportunity in third and inches on Sunday to really take the top off of defense. And you bring in Karan Amagaji and Doug Kramer as your extra offensive lineman. And you dial up a shot play. You dial up play action to DJ Moore running deep down the left sideline, and it is wide open from the press box. The minute Caleb put in his play action fake, you're like, that thing is there. That thing is there to be hit. And what happens? Caleb's a little late with the throw. He's a little inside with the throw. He doesn't put enough juice on the throw, and it's easily intercepted by Andre Sisco. And you're like, oh, man, that is a wasted opportunity in a big moment in a stadium that was ready for you to put on a fireworks show. Okay, what do you do with that? I think that was the biggest question that you were facing after they left those points on the table were how would Caleb respond? Rookie quarterback, overseas, international game, trying to figure out what to do with an ugly turnover. And what does he do, Grody? The next four times he has the football in his hands, he leads touchdown drives. The Bears go touchdown, 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 touchdown after that interception. And to me, that's as defining as it gets for a young quarterback to put that away as fast as he did, to come back, in his words, pissed off and even more motivated than he had been to get the offense rolling again. To respond like that, I think, said volumes about the quarterback that they have under center right.
Agreed, and I will see your bad pass to DJ Moore and raise you a throwing the football off of 79 Matt Pryor. And then, as you said, then eventually getting his act together. I love to, like, the Keenan Allen stuff was terrific, specifically the fade to him in the back left corner of the end zone. I think that was on a third down play as well. I love that. It was a terrific throw. The touch was there so many times watching the Bears through the years. That ball is just overthrown. Or the receiver catches it and he's out of bounds. You have a professional quarterback and an expert receiver on the other end of that play as well. So that was the play that really got my attention in terms of degree of difficulty. It's something we just don't see a whole lot anymore.
I'm with you. For me, on the bright side, are the two touchdowns that Keenan Allen had. I think the two touchdowns to Cole Kmet are cool in their own way, but they didn't require a lot from the quarterback. The first one is set up by play design, and Cole's running wide open down the seam. The second one, he gets basically a busted coverage in the end zone, is able to hit him. The two to Keenan Allen, those are dots, and those are throws that stars in this league make. And I went back and watched them on Monday, Grody, and the thing that was bouncing around my head the entire time, you mentioned the fade and the placement of that ball, and you mentioned the other one in the back of the end zone where he's basically got to split two defenders with a ball to where Keenan can adjust his body, back shoulder, and make a catch on it in the back of the end zone. And you think about the years that preceded this, and you say somebody would have thrown up a video or a still shot of those two plays in years past and said, no one's open. Right. And the quarterback would have either taken a sack or thrown an incompletion, and he would have been given a pass because no one was open. And then the guy with the star power says, he's open enough, and I'm going to put this ball where a star quarterback should put the football. One's a fade, one's back of the end zone, back shoulder shot. And they're absolute bullseyes to a receiver that makes a great play on them. And all of a sudden you got yourself two touchdowns instead of an argument on Twitter about was anyone open.
Right. Or an argument on Twitter, people ripping Keenan Allen, saying he wasn't worth it and he's getting fat and he doesn't belong on the Bears. Like all these things that have been thrown out there. And look, man, hey, when I think it was the Carolina game. Was it the Carolina game that he came out of the locker room and he was not available in the locker room that day at Soldier right. Field. And it was like, I was like, oh man. He was fine. And I'm glad there was nothing wrong, but it was just weird because he still wasn't getting his at that point. And so the antennas went up for me and I said, oh man, he's not getting the ball. Is he unhappy? Is this not working out? So for so many reasons, it was so important that Keenan Allen did what he did. And I can't even tell you which play it was. I think it was probably second half. It was a simple, like, third and five pass over the middle to Keenan Allen. And I was like, and a first down throw by Caleb Williams. I'm thinking, yeah, this is part of what we know about Keenan Allen, a third down machine. And there it was. So he made the spectacular plays. And then he is there for Caleb Williams, quarterback friendly, making third down plays like he's done in his entire career.
It's really fun to watch guys work like that and get in that rhythm and find that magic together. My moment was what you brought up a few minutes ago. It was that pass into Matt Pryor's face mask, because that's early in a game and it's with the entire country watching because there's no other game on at that point. And your social media feed started to be filled with things from people going, oh, here we go. Bears quarterback again on display. You know, they pull the curtains back and we've got a guy chucking fastballs into the face mask of their guard. And it was during an offensive start again, where the Bears started slowly again. I think their opponent has scored first in every single game this season. The Bears offense hasn't been able to get off to many quick first quarter starts. And that was a little bit of a snapshot into here's another slow start. And here's another ugly looking play that the rest of the world can laugh at. That was one of the few uh-oh moments, but it was certainly an uh-oh moment.
By the way, I apologize for jumping ahead on all of these things. I'm not realizing that I did that. I'll get this rhythm down here.
It's fine. We can adjust and adapt, just like Shane and Caleb do. We're very adaptable.
Yeah, man. I can't stick to a script, man. I'm improv all the way, you know? But yeah, honestly, like as much as I want to see Caleb Williams play well, and I guess we're all prone to giving people like that the benefit of the doubt, when he made that play, I tweeted, that's embarrassing. It was embarrassing. That's what it was. And I was like, because there's been moments in the Caleb Williams career so far with the Bears, like every single game where I'm like, and this is ridiculous that I say this and think this, but where I'm like, oh man, is he bad? Is he not good? Is he too short? Does he not have accuracy? Is he going to overthrow everybody? Am I wrong about this guy? And so I all along I have felt that we would see what we have seen out of Caleb Williams, and he's got a long way to go, but so far so good, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, like you've been beating the drum that there's greatness in there and that there's greatness that's going to come out. Our big number as we wrap up the QB1 segment is 10. It's the number of offensive touchdowns the Bears have scored in the last two games. 10 offensive touchdowns. It used to take a month and a half, Grody, to get 10 offensive touchdowns. I could probably dig up a whole bunch of stuff from my dusty archives here of times during the Nagy era, the Fox era, where you couldn't get 10 offensive touchdowns in a calendar month most of the time. The Bears have had it in the last two games. The last time that the Bears scored 5 offensive touchdowns in consecutive games, 1956. I know Studs wasn't alive back then. I know I wasn't alive back then.
I'm
pretty sure you weren't alive back then. It was a long time ago. That's before the Super Bowl era began, a full decade before they started playing Super Bowls. That's the last time the Bears scored 5 offensive touchdowns in consecutive games. The coach back then, good old Patty Driscoll, with George Blanda as your quarterback, in case you were looking for some perspective.
Old Patty Driscoll. Yeah, and again, back to the growing themes of this show, it didn't seem cheap. It didn't seem contrived. It didn't seem like, you know, obviously, again, bad defenses, and you can't not take that into consideration. But you've seen a quarterback making ridiculously good and, dare I say, at times, elite passes. So, again, they're not going to score 5 touchdowns in every game, but there is a sustainability about the explosiveness of this offense, that it's there, that it's in their back pocket. And there's going to be another game where Caleb Williams, you know, is going to maybe throw a couple picks, maybe only throws for 150 yards or whatever the case may be, and look bad. But we now know that they are capable of making explosive plays and winning because of them.